Please turn in your Bible to 1 Peter. But we're going to do something different this morning. We're going to actually play a game together as a congregation. You're really like, I didn't sign up for that. We're going to play a game called Is It Real? And I'm going to read a series of statements to you and have you tell me if it's real or not real. All right. Pigeons, they head bob when they're walking to stabilize the picture they see. Who says real? Who says fake? All right. According to statistics, 1.6% of people feel pain when they see someone else in pain. Real or not real? Real? Not real. Okay? In Japan, there are crabs with a scary pattern on the shell that looks like an angry face. People with blue eyes appeared much later than ceramics were invented. Real? Not real. Okay? A paper cut is more painful than a regular cut because there is either very little blood or no blood at all, which leaves the nerve endings open to be disturbed by the air. Real? Not real. Okay? In Colombia, there's a multicolored river called the Caño Cristales. It is famous because the water can be five different colors: red, yellow, green, blue, and black. Real? Not real. There it is. All of these statements this morning were real, every one of them. And we hear things, and we are kind of like, I'm not sure, we're apprehensive, we kind of hold back a little bit. Like some of you were probably sitting there, is he tricking us? Is this a trick question? Is, you know, what's going on, right? And when we, this morning, We're going to begin a series on spiritual warfare, and the title is It Real? Because we talk about it a lot, or we kind of say, well, you're in spiritual warfare, and we're like, no, I'm just going through a bad time, right? We kind of dismiss it all. Or we say, that's real, but, you know, when my life is easy, then I'm not in spiritual warfare, and when it's hard, I am. That's kind of how we categorize it, right? So that as we're journeying through this life, when things are going bad, we just blame the enemy. And when they're going good, well, God's in control. Isn't God in control all the time? Yeah, but we do have an enemy, right? But spiritual warfare is real. And what I want to do as this morning as we explore spiritual warfare, is it real? We're going to see that the devil, he's seeking victims. We're going to see that he requests access, and we will see that he will flee under the right circumstances. That's what's going on around us. And we can't go through this world with this idea that we're just going to do the best we can, and God helps those who help themselves, and we're going to survive, and it's going to be okay, and you know, when we die, we're going to go to heaven. There's more going on than that. We see this world as the real world and the spiritual world as something else, when really the spiritual world is the real world because this world is passing away. And so we have to be careful what we cling on to. I mean, if I have two ships to get on, I'm not getting on the Titanic on the maiden voyage. I know it's going to go down. But that's what we're doing. We're clinging to this world and it's going down, instead of clinging to Christ. And so we're going to pick up with our verse here in 1 Peter 5, verses 6 through 11 says this: "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And Father, I pray this morning that you'll speak to us. That, Father, we'll hear from you. That we'll understand your word in a new way. That we'll understand exactly what you meant when you wrote it, and that's it. But, Father, I ask you to apply it to our lives. Help us to see the spiritual warfare going on around us. Help us to see the voices and the things that want to cause us to not live in accordance with your will. That would take us off. And Father, so often the enemy appeals to us by trying to say that this is better or this is good, when he knows what venom lies beneath the surface. And so help us, Lord, to have spiritual eyes to see. Thank you for what you're doing. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So he says this, and many of us have heard this verse before, that the devil, your adversary, the devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. He's called in this verse our adversary. So often in the journey that we experience, when we bump up against people who seem to be difficult or contrary to what God is doing, we see them as the adversary. People are not our adversary. They're the deceived. He's the deceiver. And so we have to be careful, as we have a tendency to, we want to take sides in this life. It starts, I think, in middle school. Well, are you going to be my friend or their friend? You know, and it goes from there, right? And it kind of develops over time. And so we have an adversary. It's not one another. It's not other people in the world. It's not the lost. It's not our brothers and sisters in Christ. His name is the devil. His name is Beelzebub. His name is Satan. And he is our adversary. The interesting thing about this is, how many of you know why lions roar? You ever thought about that? Wouldn't that be important to know here? Why lions roar? Well, if you do a study on lions, when lions, they live in prides, and they actually manage, if you will, territory, areas, space. And they will go out, the male lions will go out to the corners of their territory and stand and roar, saying, "This is mine. This is my territory. Don't come over here, because you're going to deal with me if you do." And so when it says that the devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour, he is trying to claim territory in your life. He is looking for the opportunity to say, "This is mine." And he will stand there and attempt to take that and try to keep everybody else away, because he wants that space in your life. And when he does, when you come into his territory, or when he comes into your territory, I promise you, it won't be to be your friend. He will devour you. Or he will devour part of your life that will steal things away that could have happened if you had been walking with God in that moment. And so let's not miss any moments that we have with the Lord. You know, it's funny, as you go through this, as you start to pull some of the things out, he's telling us what he's looking for here by the descriptions that are going on around it, by the warnings we're given. Here are the perfect victims. We don't want to be the perfect victims, right? If I'm on the Serengeti, I'm not going to go out there and walk like this. You know? And they're going to go, "Ah!" They're going to start licking their lips. The perfect victims, according to these verses, are those who are prideful. Well, I don't need anyone. I'm good. I got this under control. Really? How many medical situations in your life have you had under control? How many financial crises have you had? If you had it under control, why'd that happen? Listen, control is a deception. God is in control. We do not control anything. We do not control anything. Pride. And here's the thing with pride. Pride will steal your recognition that you need the Lord. Well, I don't need anybody. I'm okay. Now, I'll call on God when I need Him. Or I'll communicate with God when I need Him. How many of you have ever had an active prayer life when everything seems to be going okay in your life? Usually our prayers begin, "Oh, Lord, help me with this," right? If He wants a relationship with you and that's the only time you'll pray, what if we spent time just praying, saying thank you that out of nothing you created all this? You are truly a God of wonders. Thank you that you're long-suffering. Thank you that you care when my heart hurts over certain things. Thank you that no matter how much sin I've amassed, Jesus took all of it. Thank you that you showed me what these verses mean. Now show me, I ask you to show me what they mean in my life and how it changes me. Where are those prayers? Where are the relationship prayers? Oh Lord, I got a test tomorrow. Oh Lord, the cop's lights are on behind me. Lord, I pray for a warning. I won't do it again. Remember the movie The End? With only the old people remember. I shouldn't say that because then nobody's going to admit it. Burt Reynolds was a movie in The End. At the very end of the movie, he's swimming out there because he's going to kill himself. And then he changes his mind when he gets out in the ocean. He says, Lord, and he's making all these promises. I'll give 90% of my income. And as he gets closer to shore, it's 50%. And then it goes down. It's funny. That's what we do, though, right? When we have no hope, our commitment is greater. Then we kind of have hope. We're like, well, I don't need you now. Pride. We'll do that. Anxiousness. Anxiousness comes from not understanding your relationship with the Lord. Because the truth is, we're safe in the hand of God. There's nothing to be anxious about, anything. Nothing can touch us unless He allows it. And if He allows it, there's a purpose for it. Well, God didn't cause that to happen. He doesn't cause things to happen. He doesn't cause things to hurt us. But we're in a broken down world, aren't we? We brought it in when we sinned in the garden. This is our fault, not His. We have to realize we're safe. You know, well, I could lose my job, or what am I going to do? I'm going to make my house payment. How am I going to do it? We go through that whole thing, don't we? What am I going to do if this girl doesn't like me or this boy don't like me? What am I going to do? My friend just got diagnosed with. What am I going to do? I just got diagnosed with. I got news for you folks. Your body is getting older and it doesn't function as well as it did when you were young. You say, that ain't news to us! Right? Young people, it ain't always going to function that good. You know, I'm going to tell you how you know when you're getting old. When you make a noise when you stand up or sit down. That's how you know. That's true. Anxiousness. The perfect victims are not in touch with the Spirit. Listen, we must routinely communicate with the Holy Spirit. He will warn us when someone is going to work against us. You ever had that feeling that just something ain't right there? Or something is, I feel at risk around them. You maybe can't put your finger on it, but you know that there's a reason you should stay away. You need to listen to the Spirit of God. He will speak to you. He will speak to you. The bad thing is when we quench that and we participate or we go in anyway, it can be very dangerous. It can be very dangerous. So not in touch with the Spirit, not on the alert. Many people, how many people do you know who fell into a sin? Right? Well, we never saw it coming. We didn't, you know, we weren't doing our budgeting right, and now we're in a situation where the bank's going to take our house. Or, you know, it was just a paperclip when I started, and then it became pens at work, and then I needed 50 bucks for the weekend. And it just gradually over time. Because we're not on the alert. We have to be careful. Listen, we resist him by being firm in our faith. The result of this is Christ himself will, watch what he does. When you walk firm in your faith, in other words, when he comes, you say, no, I'm confident that the Lord has better things for me. What if Eve had told the serpent that? Because she lied, the serpent lied to Eve about two things. He began with identity. He began with identity, and that's what the enemy does. He began with identity. He said, in the day you eat of it, you'll be like God. She was already like God, right? She was made in his image. Perfect. So he lied to her about who she was, hidden in the statement. And he does that to you guys and to me all the time. If he can make us believe that we're somebody that we're not in Christ, then we will start acting based upon who we believe we are. You ever said that? Well, that's just who I am. Well, I'm just that way. And we dismiss behavior that doesn't line up with that statement. That's how the enemy works. And then he caused her, by the statement, to, because she believed him, now she's got a need. Aren't we complete in Christ? Hasn't he given us everything pertaining to life and godliness? So if that's true, then you don't need anything other than him, right? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. How many of us are living that way? Right? So now we're going to cut to the brass tacks where we start to actually confront the truth is we believe things that are not true and we hold them. We hold them as truths. We actually talked about this yesterday at men's breakfast. That we believe lies is truth. And it's in there. And some of that is why we're not living free. Some of you think that you have a sin in your life that you're just never going to get rid of. And this happens in the private recesses of your mind. Nobody knows, right? But I'm here to call it out. That is a lie. How much of your sin, and we've been through this, how much of your sin was forgiven and removed when you said yes to Jesus? All of it. So why do we still believe we're trapped? That's gone. But we believe we're trapped. But that's gone. And we live with this thing hanging over us. And we walk around with this weight. And we go, and we wonder why nobody's asking us of the hope that lies within us. Because they don't see the hope. They see the weight. We're in a spiritual challenge, folks. The devil's seeking victims. But watch what God does when you walk in faith. Christ himself, Jesus Christ himself in you will do this. He will perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Listen, I'm pretty well established when I stand on Jesus, aren't I? Isn't that what's happening? Confirmed. He saw me through it. That's confirmed that he was there. The problem is, we don't want to stand on him because we're afraid. We're afraid that he'll fail us. We say, well, I don't believe that. Then why aren't you standing on him? In every situation, every circumstance. And there's a myriad of reasons. But he's seeking victims, folks. The devil is looking for victims. Listen, don't be an easy target. Don't be an easy target. You know, how many of you have ever taken the Dave Ramsey course? Anybody? Some of y'all? Dave Ramsey talks about gazelle intensity. Y'all remember that from the course? And he had to look a long time for a gazelle that escaped the lion. He looked a long time for a video. And he showed one where a gazelle actually, the lion gave up. Doesn't happen often. He doesn't give up easy. He doesn't give up easy. But you know what? We have already escaped the lion. We are already free. You are already brand new in Christ. You are already victorious. It's done. Don't live like it isn't. Don't live like it isn't. He's seeking victims. Don't be an easy target. Don't be prideful, anxious, not in touch with the Spirit, and not on the alert. Be the opposite of those things. But the devil also requests access. Luke 22, verses 31 through 34 says, and I want you to see the verbiage here. It's really interesting. Simon, Simon. Now, this is Jesus speaking to Simon Peter. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith may not fail. There it is again. And you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. But he said to him, Lord, with you I am ready to go both to prison and to death. We would all say that, right? And he said, I say to you, Peter, the rooster will not crow today until you've denied me three times. Or that you deny that you know me three times. And we all know the story. Guess what happened? Exactly what Jesus said. But in Peter's case, Satan went to God and demanded permission. I demand that you give me the opportunity to touch Peter. That's pretty bold, isn't it? With God? He demanded. I think because he knew, had some knowledge of who Peter was. He watched him. He knew Peter was all heart, right? A lot of us identify with Peter. You know, Peter's always the one getting in messes because he's just all in. He's in there mixing it up. But you know, we hear Peter, James, and John a lot. We all know the story of Judas. We don't talk a lot about Matthew and Mark and some of these other ones. Interesting. Some of these guys that were with Jesus. So he demands access. But I'll tell you, there's some lessons we can take away from this passage as well. The devil is trying to gain access to our lives. He even demands it. He wants access to you. He wants access to you. And he will use anything possible. The world, the flesh, and the devil. The world, the flesh, the devil will appeal to. But there are other ways. There are other ways that he can get you to keep you from doing. He can lie to you about who you are. He can begin to trick you into believing things about Scripture that aren't true. I'll give you a huge one, unforgiveness. There are so many people that I have seen, even sitting in my seminary classes, that are dealing with unforgiveness. Let me tell you, forgiveness is never for the other person. We think in forgiving, we've all been hurt and people have done things to us, and we've also done things and hurt people. So let's just get that off the table. Well, you know, I don't really, you know. Yeah, you do. I promise you do. Because I do too. So that's all happened. When I choose to forgive somebody, it sets me free. It doesn't do anything for them. It's for me. And so if I think I'm punishing them, I had a friend. It's so funny because this is that same guy that we didn't, our personalities didn't mesh at all, but God really used that. And he was, one night, he was mad at his wife, and he was pouting, and they had made steaks, and he's like, well, I'm not going to eat with them tonight. And so they made the steaks and all that, and later he had made himself a couple scrambled eggs. That's what we make when we're, you know, because guys can make that, right? And all the guys say, amen. Well, he's sitting there at the table, and he tells me these stories, and we're so, it's a weird relationship. But he said, I'm sitting there and I'm eating my eggs, and the Lord is saying, you know, if you had forgiven and not stewed in your own unforgiveness, you could have steak tonight instead of you eating eggs. But that's what we do, right? We do the same thing. It's so funny. I don't know why we do that, but. So the devil is trying to gain access into our lives, and one of the ways he does that is through unforgiveness. Listen, don't eat eggs, eat steak. Let it go. He has no access without permission. So if he comes into your life, there's a purpose that God's allowed it for. Now imagine Job. I would imagine Job had a few questions for the Lord. Why'd you point me out? Because he's the one that told Job. God's the one who told the devil. He said, have you considered Job? Right? But you know, there was a purpose in Job's life. When you get to the end of it, Job had pride. And that's one of our things. Isn't that interesting? Funny how the Bible all works together. It's all about me. This thing ain't about you, it's about Jesus. When you make it about you, you're going to make the wrong decisions every time. I was walking out in the fields the other day, and I began to think about that. God began to deal with my heart about that. How much of this have you made about you? Nothing, Lord. It's all, yeah. Then why is he talking to me about it, right? That's our normal answer. But let's be honest. Let's just be honest. Man, you know what? That is a missing ingredient in the world today. It seems like we can't trust anything anybody says. They tell you something, they don't do it. I'll be there, and they don't show up. No call, no shows. It's constant. Oh, yeah, not a problem, and then nothing. You know, people of integrity, when they say something, they mean it. I told somebody this, and I will die with this as my mantra. If my word is no good, my signature is no better. Because they both represent me. The only issue is one you can sue me easier on. That's what it comes down to. And it's sad that that's where we're at in society. Where honesty is a fleeting thing. We can't find it in the media. We can't find it in our schools, we can't find it. We ought to at least find it in church. Amen? And then we ought to impact all of those people because we're in love with Jesus. Nobody. We're in love with Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Listen, don't ever get over the cross, folks. I know I'm going off here. But don't ever get over the cross. Listen, if I'm going to chase a rabbit and Jesus is on that trail, I'm going. We hear the story of the cross, we go, yeah, I've heard that. No. We think the worst part of the cross was the beating and the whipping and the ripping off of his beard and the fact that his back was open and he was having to slide up and down. Listen, when I get a splinter, I'm a big baby. I don't know about you. Carrie. Do you women know any men like that? Judy, yeah, I know one. He's really close to me at the moment. Listen, our love for him is why we serve. It's why we do the things we do. That's our motivation. That's our drive. That's why we exist, folks. Let's not miss out on that. The devil is trying to gain access. He has no access without permission. So discover what God... Listen... Maybe the storm has been sent to deliver you. And we don't need deliverance from the storm. Maybe the storm is the deliverance to deliver something out of your life, keeping you from everything God has for you.
You're like, well, I don't want to hear. I didn't think I'd get an amen on that one.
Let's start thanking Jesus for the storm. Didn't Paul say, I've learned to be content in all things? Here's Paul. He's a great example. I don't know what I'm doing here. He's a great example because wherever he went, we know that he was on business for the Lord. He was where he was supposed to be. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten. He was stoned. He was, well, bad things don't happen to good people. Yes, they do. If I do exactly what God wants, everything should come up roses. No, it doesn't. He was suicidal at one point. He said, I despaired even of my own life. And we all quote the verse.
Well, all things work together for those who love God. All things work together for good. We all want to quote that, but we don't want to live that journey. That's where that came out of. So let's just cut through this church pretense stuff and let's get to the real deal. We have an enemy out there who's deceiving men and women, boys and girls, and trying to delude us, to keep us from being a light, from being a witness, from being a sharp instrument in the tool and in the hand of God so that he can save some and show them the life he had planned for them from the beginning of the world. It's not a game. To be honest with you, this is not what I wanted to preach on. I wanted to preach on Christology or Jesus Christ. And I've never had God prevent me. He said, this is what you're going to preach on. And I said, okay. It's amazing. When you try to do what God doesn't want you to do, how many obstacles you run into. I mean, how could preaching on Christ not be? And the reason is because that wasn't what he wanted today. But you know what I've discovered in doing that? It's so funny because we're so... I can't speak for you. I'm so dumb. This whole book is about Jesus. No matter what we're talking about, he's the source, the foundation. He's everything. And so we have an enemy, and he's requesting access. He has no access without permission. In the same way that Jesus prayed for Peter, he's also praying for us. He's an advocate with the Father for us. He's our lawyer in heaven. And those two might be mutually exclusive. But he intercedes on our behalf with God. He represents us. Listen, there's a purpose for the things we go through. And you know what it says here? It's to strengthen other people. How comforting is it to you when you're going through a hard time and somebody comes to you and says, you know what, I went through that same thing. Right? A look from the other side. I swam the English Channel. You can do it too. That's so kind. And you go, man, where is God? Why am I going through all this? He's giving you something. Look for what he's up to. If he allows those things in your life, don't miss the hand of God in there for the tools that he's using to bring it about. So we use that to strengthen others. We also learn that confidence in yourself always leads to failure. Well, I will never do that. Let me tell you, I have the potential to do every sin on this planet. I'll tell you right now. If I get deceived and I believe something that's not true, I can slide right into any sin. The moment I think that that can't happen for me, that's when I become vulnerable because I'm no longer on alert. And along slides in the devil. And he comes as an angel of light, folks. He doesn't come with smoke. He doesn't smell like brimstone and stink. He comes in smelling pretty, folks. Remember this, anything of value requires access to get to it. You have value, and that's why he's requesting access. That's why. But we also know that the devil will flee. James 4, 1 through 10 says this.
What is your source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive. You ever been there? Because you ask with wrong motives so that you may spend it on your pleasures. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the Spirit which He has made to dwell in us. But He gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. We've talked about that one. But the next verse, submit therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned into mourning, and your joy into gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and He will exalt you. And He will exalt you. Listen, the devil uses our own fleshly desires against us. He knows what we want. He knows the things that we like. He knows the things that make us happy. And you know what? It results in quarrels and conflicts, lust. You know, he talks about murder, but you know what? Jesus said, if you hate your brother, you've murdered him already in your heart. But you don't know so-and-so. Don't matter. This is the truth, folks. Envious, fights, wrong motives in our spiritual life because we're doing it for our pleasure. Listen, those are the result of the devil's work in our lives. And I'll tell you this, if I pray and ask for the things that are in accordance with the will of God and what He wants to do in me and through me in the moment, do you think God is going to answer that prayer? Absolutely. Absolutely. Why wouldn't He? So maybe, and I'm just speaking to me, I can't answer for you. You have to ask Him. Maybe some of the things I prayed for that I haven't gotten weren't in accordance with what He was going to do in me. Or weren't part of the plan. Well, but that's, you know, you don't understand. I was praying for somebody else or I was doing this. You don't know what God's plan was for them. And I'm going to give you something even, man, this is big. I don't know why this is so tough this morning, but you know what our ultimate healing is? It's not being cancer-free. It's not being to where I don't die here. My ultimate healing is when I get my new body and I go to heaven. That's real healing, folks. Because we have eternal life, but we don't have it in these fleshly bodies. And we cling so hard to this world, and then we want to blame God when He doesn't come through like we think He should. And that's God's fault. No, it isn't. It's yours and mine. Listen, I didn't want to lose my grandparents. I don't want to lose my wife. I don't want to lose my parents. And I hope they don't want to lose me. But it's going to happen. Life is a fatal disease. And we cling so hard to this world instead of to Jesus. He said here that friendship with the world is hostility toward God. Who's leading us? What is leading your prayer life? You or the Lord? What's leading you? Which path are you on with God? Pride, where He opposes you, or humility, where grace comes? Isn't that interesting that in all these passages, there's this idea of humility? How many of you enjoy prideful people being around you? How many of you are attracted to them? That, yes, man, I want to be around them. They talk about themselves all the time, how great they are. Man, you should have known what I did. They won't do it like that. They'll be a little more subtle. But everything's about them.
We don't. We're even opposed to them. What makes you think God wouldn't be also? But a humble person, you know what? I'm taught more by humble people than I have people that think they've got it figured out, right? Because that's the journey that we want to be on. And so, which is it? Humility receiving grace or pride receiving opposition? If you want the devil to flee out of your life, here's what you have to do. We all talk about resisting the devil, right? I want you to think about this like a coin. There'll be a couple playoff football games today. They're going to have a coin. There's going to be two sides, a heads and a tails. And on this coin here, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. It's two sides to the same coin. When I submit to God, I'm resisting the devil. You see how that works? We go, well, I just say no. I'm just going to say no to the devil. No, 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 no. And I'm not tapping into the power that I have to resist. I can't resist the devil in my own flesh, in my own determination. I will surrender. I will surrender to him. I submit to God. And when I do that, I'm automatically resisting, because that position is a position of strength against the enemy. So submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee. That's how it works. Then he tells us, it doesn't end there. We're to draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Listen, that's really cool. He wants to be near to you. He wants to walk. He wants to speak to you and have you obey and see the cool things that happen. The God things that can happen in conversations and with other people. Then he addresses this. He says, cleanse your hands. In other words, address what you're doing. Cut it out. Purify your hearts. And you address why you're doing it. That's your false beliefs. So stop what you're doing. Address why you thought that was okay. Because that's going to get you in trouble. So purify your hearts. Humble yourselves in his presence. So repent and submit. Humble yourselves. And then he'll exalt you. But we don't do it so he can exalt us. Because he picks us up from that position and he stands us on Christ. That's the only exaltation that I even care about, is that I'm on the rock. Listen, the devil ain't going to stay around when the Lord is leading you and he sees you following him. That's a good way to get rid of him out of your life. So what is our takeaway from this message on spiritual warfare? The devil's real, folks. You know, we started off is this thing even real? Because we talk about spiritual warfare and it's so, a lot of things are just so convoluted and we don't understand it. The devil is real. He's not a fictitious character with a red pitchfork sitting on your shoulder and an angel on the other. The sad thing is he looks more like the angel. That's why we listen to him. Well, really, if you would just come over here, I'll show you how good it could be. I'll show you how to make millions of dollars. All you do is find six people. That's terrible. Can you edit that? How many people have changed their life and they've surrendered to programs and pyramids and things like that all over the world and aren't being used by God? We got to make sure we're pursuing him, folks. The devil's real. The battle is real. He will do everything to keep you from living for God. From lies to entrapments to entanglements to snares. He will use things that happened in your childhood that helped to shape you. And listen, we're not to be conformed to this world. We're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And some of us are comfortable with the confirmation and are nervous about the transformation. So we cling to that. We call those coping patterns. And so we live based upon these things we learned to get people to leave us alone, to not hurt us. We erect walls around our heart. We erect certain behaviors to keep that from happening. And we live with that. And that's who we are. And God says that ain't okay. I know, I'm scared too a little bit. Because, and the reason is because I've got a little confidence in some of that. Let's just call it out. Truth is truth, right? Amen. Say it.
Amen.
Amen. It's true and it hits me too. We will not compromise truth for our own comfort. The battle's real. Some of the things we've allowed in our lives, he planted there by appealing to our flesh. We've got to be careful. Listen, I'm going to leave you one more. Our God is real. Our God is real. You are not in this alone. God protects you and he has a plan for your life. And he's had it from when he said, let there be light. And before that. That's how much God loves you. You know, I was reading this story. The pastor actually shared this story about his son. That he had a birthday party and they were doing a pirate theme. And all the boys showed up with all their pirate garb and their eye patches and their scarves and all that. And as each boy came through the door, they gave them inflatable swords, plastic inflatable swords. You know, and if you ever seen boys, toys don't last with boys very long, right? And they played with these swords and, you know, a little bit of the air went out and they were flopping around. And it was so funny to watch them. But this is what he said. He said, they wielded their plastic blow-up swords with a distinct lack of dexterity. The nimble precision needed for sword fighting was severely limited by the floppy handles and fat blades filled with air. But at least they were safe. High adventure with absolutely no danger. And I think that that's how we approach the enemy. With inflatable swords and lack of dexterity, and we wonder why he's getting the best of us sometimes. Instead of the sword of the Spirit. Now remember, it's not the sword of the body, it's the sword of the... I've seen people use scripture to try and cut other people. That is the Holy Spirit's job. Don't you dare take that weapon out of his hand. Because he can carve a tiny little piece out of my heart, or a giant chunk if it needs to go. It is the sword of the Spirit. That's what it says. It is his sword, not ours. And if you feel like you need to say something to somebody about something they're doing, you better apply Matthew 7 first and check to make sure that he's not addressing a plank in your eye first. Because that's what hypocrites do. They tell everybody else how to do it and they don't know how to do it themselves. So be careful. And I'll tell you, if we spent as much time working and surrendering and submitting ourselves, we wouldn't have time to worry about Johnny over here or Bubba over there. Because my plate would be full just dealing with me. Let's get our eyes on him and what he's addressing, walk with that, experience those moments with him, and forget the rest of the junk. That the enemy would just completely like to derail us. And so the biggest danger in life or in battle, this is an interesting statement, and I'm going to leave you with this. The biggest dangers in battle are to underestimate your enemy or overestimate your own strength. I have zero strength without the Lord. And I am not equipped in myself, in my own strength, to deal with the enemy. But in him, it's a done deal. And that's the key. The spiritual battle is real, and we need to treat it as such. It's a real deal. It's a real deal. And it's a battle in the mind a lot of the time. And then the mind causes the behavior. So folks, we're just beginning with this. We're going to begin to talk about the instruments of... We have defensive and offensive instruments. We have things that we can use. It's important because what I've been witnessing is... The enemy is attacking. He's attacking. I'm hearing stories. I'm seeing things. I'm watching things. The Holy God even said, you're going to preach on this. And you know why? Because he loves you so much, he doesn't want you to trip into that. And he's also got a calling for this body. As we come together, as we grow, as we unite in hearts to go and be real witnesses in this community. Let's do this right, folks.
When we get to the end of this, let's say from Genesis to Revelation, we've done it right. When we die, we can say we did it right. We did it the way you wrote it. Not the way church works today. I could care less. I know how God's worked from the time began, and that's enough. That's enough. Listen, when we've replaced the awe of God with sound systems and flashy lights and all that, we've missed it, folks. We've missed it. I can come in and I can wow and I can do all of that. I know how to do all of that. It's easy for me. That's easier than this. But I care that you connect with the God who created this. I'll tell you what, if he walked through that door, I don't need no flashy lights. We don't even need music, nothing. We all be on our face. But we treat him so casually in our lives that it's a shame. And the truth is, he is in our midst. He is in our presence. And we don't treat him with the respect that he deserves. And so it's time to set this junk. We have chains of sand holding us down that have already been broken. Jesus said, if I set you free, you're free indeed. Didn't he set you free when he saved you? You are not bound by anything other than love for him, for what he did for you on the cross. Let's give him all. Let's give all our heart. Let's give it all. Let's give it all in everything we do, everything we say, everything we do here at New Life. Let it be Jesus-centered, Christ-centered. Let me tell you, you don't need balance in your life. I remember that lie. I fell into that. I don't need balance. I don't balance Christ in this. Jesus is all I need, folks. Amen. You put him in the center, he brings the order to your life. Amen. Not the other. Don't believe that. Well, I got to find some balance in my life. No, you don't. You got to walk with Jesus. There may be time that you spend 3 hours at Target talking to somebody in line because something happened right there. Or at work, somebody may come to you and say, can I talk to you? And that's the moment. My outflow, my fruit may not just be winning souls. It might be listening to somebody who's hurting today. It might be weeping with those who weep. It might be rejoicing with those who rejoice. It might just be listening. And say that's a lost art. Have you ever said that to your spouse? Are you even listening to me? We don't listen to each other anymore. And you know why? Because we don't care. Anybody get uncomfortable with the truth? I am. My wife's in the nursery today. Oh no, this is broadcasting in there, isn't it? Oh, James. James, I need you to stay after. The truth is we don't care. We care about whatever we're thinking about. We don't care what they have. That's the truth. Or it's much more interesting. Let's just call the truth, folks. So what has God called you to? The enemy's up with us, and we don't need to fear him. We need to love him. That'll take care of itself. I'm going to see everybody bow their head and close their eyes.